Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Interesting show lined up for you today, and I have a question for you. It's a great topic, and I had a guest on my show not long ago that really brought this into focus for me. So my question for you is your advisor agnostic? And should you expect that? Do you know what that is? Well, a lot of times the word agnostic is used to describe somebody who maybe has questions or is skeptical about God's existence or humanity, our ability to understand him. Well, it can also be used in another way. It can be used to describe somebody who is noncommittal or has doubts about something or is neutral. And so I had this come up not long ago, actually on this radio program. I was doing an interview with an author who's also a financial advisor. And she was talking about how she does what she does in her practice for financial planning and helping people figure out how to get retirement income. And as she was talking about it, she said, well, I don't really care what product or service I recommend to the person. I just want them to have the right things for them. And since she said, she goes, I'm a product agnostic. And it kind of struck me as an interesting way to put it. And so when I think about it, that is a good way to approach it. And I like that. It makes a lot of sense. It's very logical. So the obvious question then is, should you, in working with an advisor, whoever that may be, should you expect that person to be an agnostic, to be able to recommend what's best for you without perhaps a bias or a limitation, some sort of external limitation? And so that's the question I want to answer on today's program. And so the first thing to know about whether an advisor can be this practicing agnostic is whether or how they are employed or whether they're independent or they work for somebody. Because here's the reality. Here's the inside scoop on the world of finance. If an advisor works for a brokerage firm or an insurance company or some other company or person, then their employer is going to tell them there's going to be a list. They're going to have a list of things that you can recommend and the things that perhaps they can't. But generally it's, hey, here's a list of the things that you can recommend to the clients of the firm. And so that relationship with the employer dictates what that advisor can recommend. So that advisor might want to recommend something in particular to a client, but if the company that they work for doesn't allow it, well, then they are not a practicing agnostic. They aren't in a place where they can be neutral. To put it a little more bluntly and a little roughly, they have to sell what's on the truck. They have to recommend what's available through that employer. So if it's a brokerage firm, the representative, the broker, is employed by that company. If they work for an insurance company as an insurance agent, they work for that company. Those companies are going to say, here are the things you can use. So that puts the advisor in a position where they may be limited in what they can offer. Now, there may be other choices they have available that are just as good, but there is an inherent limitation. The other thing that's really interesting to point out is that it's not about whether that advisor is a good person or whether they are knowledgeable. I'm not talking about that. I know a lot of advisors that are very nice. They are knowledgeable, but because of their employment relationship or the structure of how they do work, they are limited. So I'm not talking about personality. I'm not talking about likability. I'm talking about the person's ability to make an independent or unfettered, unhampered recommendation for their clients. Now, the other thing that is really essential here, it is, how do you know whether or not the advisor is limited or whether they can be agnostic or not about the recommendations? There's only one way to find out. They're not going to volunteer this information, okay? There's only one way to find out. Ready? You got to ask. You have to ask, how broad are your choices? Are there any limitations? And, you know, there's two ways to approach it. You can say, okay, talk to me about the things you can recommend. Talk to me about what's available through your relationship with the company you work for. You're at ABC firm. What can you recommend? What's available? But then an equally or perhaps even more revealing question to ask is, what can't you offer me? And so by asking these questions, you can get a sense for what's available. Now, I've had people ask me questions over the years about what they want to know from me is, what makes me different? What makes my firm different? And it's a great question. I wish everybody asked it of every advisor, because they'll get an earful or should get a good understanding of how that advisor works. So when I get that question, hey, what makes you different from other advisors? I've got a lot of answers for that person, because a lot of this has to do with how I do business and how I believe it makes sense to do work for clients. So number one, we're independent. We're not owned by anybody. I don't work for a brokerage firm or insurance company. I don't have somebody telling me what to recommend, what not to. The other thing is that we have a lot of latitude in what we can recommend. If I think that an insurance product or an investment product is the right thing for my client, I can recommend those things. There's not really any limitation. I might use mutual funds, stocks, bonds, real estate, investment trust, REITs, annuities, other types of investments that are available. And usually there's a combination that we will work with to get the right mix for a particular client. Now, the other thing that is notable or different about how we do business is that the investment decisions are made in my office. I have a team of professionals who work for me and help me with managing the investments. The money isn't managed off in New York or by a robot. It's done by people in my office that I can sit down and talk with about how we're managing the money and how we're picking what we want to recommend to our clients. So the ability for an advisor to know how money's being managed is helpful for you to know that. The other thing that makes us different is we charge a fee instead of a commission for managing investments. So we get a percentage. It's called a percentage of assets under management. This is something you want to know if an advisor can do this for you. Not all advisors can. Not all advisors are set up that way. What that means is that puts me in a fiduciary capacity to help the person with the things that make the most sense for them, and we get paid a fee for doing it. So if the account gets bigger, we make more money, client has more money. If the account falls in value, we make less. So our financial outcomes are tied to our client's outcomes. Now, another thing that is important to know about an advisor, and this is a big part of what we do, is we also do taxes. So we don't have to shy away from tax questions as it relates to the investments. You know, we don't ever say, well, consult your tax advisor to go and find out about the investment recommendations I'm making to you, the tax implications. Those tax answers are part of our recommendations. And if we're going to be making changes to a portfolio, we assess the impact from a tax perspective. And we do tax returns. We have two CPAs in my office. So that's an inherent part of what we do. In fact, we've got 16 people that work in my office to help me do this work. Now, you won't know all that unless you ask the questions. Now, I've given it to you as an example today so you can understand how advisors work, but the key is you have to ask questions. If you don't know the right questions to ask, I've got a book for you, How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Scams. You can have all the questions you can know to ask an advisor to learn these things about how an advisor works. You can pick it up on Amazon.com, or you can visit with me, stop by my office, meet with me about your situation, and I'll give you a free copy. But these are the ways to know whether or not your advisor can truly be agnostic.
Are you looking for convenient, straightforward financial information? Just say no to superficial sales presentations and yes to the free Real Money app. Get David Holland's new app for your smartphone or tablet. Just search Real Money with David Holland at your mobile device's store. You'll be able to access 17 educational TV shows, plus hundreds of radio shows and financial columns, all in the palm of your hand and on your schedule. So very easy and so very important to you. Again, to download the free app, search Real Money with David Holland.
Welcome back. So what are the financial moves you should make when you're about to retire? Good question, right? Let's say that you are 1 year away from retirement. Let's say, let's go back in time. Let's say it's January of 2008 and you're 1 year away from retirement. You give your employer a whole year's notice. You know, you're a key person. You need to train another person to replace you. And you're going to make sure that you make this transition and this exit gracefully. So you've let everybody know your plans and you are looking forward to retirement, but you want to do it the right way. Let's say that you've got a 401k you've been putting money into religiously for 20, 30 years, however long, and you've saved up a nice chunk of money. Let's say that you've got $300,000 in your 401k. Let's also say that you got to $300,000 because you were more aggressive. You invested primarily in the investment choices in the 401k that are in equity, in stocks. So primarily mutual funds that are equity-based. You're a stock market investor. And let's say that over the last several years, your portfolio has grown nicely. And let's just say that from 2003 to 2007, you've seen your portfolio grow by 26, 9, 3, 14, and 4% respectively. So you've had some nice, solid growth years. You're feeling good. You're feeling kind of confident about your retirement. Things have gone well. 5 good years counts up to $300,000. You've also heard that when you retire, you might need to make some changes, but you are mostly concerned about having income. You've got the $300,000. You know that you can, between Social Security and maybe some other forms of income, that if you could draw from your 401k and use that to supplement your income from other sources, that you'd be all right. You'd be good. You'd be able to cover your expenses, maybe do a little traveling, have what you need. Now, you've also heard there's this rule, or this rule of thumb called the 4% safe withdrawal rate. And you've heard that if you take the 4% out, that you've got a good chance of your money lasting as long as you do, that it's not going to run out. So you do the math, $300,000, 4%, $12,000 a year, $1,000 a month. $1,000 a month along with your Social Security and everything else feels like it's going to be enough money to retire and be comfortable. But to be sure, you're going to double check. I mean, this is a big decision, probably one of the biggest decisions you're going to make in your life. And you've got a year after all. You're going to double check. You're going to make sure that you are doing this the right way. So you get in touch with a local certified financial planner. And you meet with a financial planner and you say, look, here's what I'm trying to do. Here's my situation. And here are my plans, just as I've described them to you. And you say, what can go wrong? What's wrong with my plan? Well, the certified financial planner, having a little more perspective, knowledge, and maybe day-to-day experience with this, reminds you that it wasn't that long ago that back in 2000, 2001, and 2002, the stock market experienced a 47% decline over that 3-year period. And that if you take this 4% out every year, you might be drawing it out at a time when the market is going down. And when you do that, you are having to sell more investments because they are worth less, not worthless, but worth less. And because of that, to get that same $1,000 a month, you have to sell more like, what, $1,500 worth of investments at normal price. And, or if you just keep taking 4%, your value of your account could fall, and would fall through what we experienced at 2000 to 2002, and you wouldn't be getting your $1,000 a month. Well, you ask the certified financial planner whether they've heard of this 4% rule, and they said, of course they have, but it only works the way you are expecting it to work if the markets are continuing to grow up and you don't have a major downturn, because then problems can present themselves. Well, you thank the financial planner for the advice, but you decide to stick to your plan. You let the investment ride. Remember, you've got your $300,000 all in the stock market. You let it ride, and you go into 2008 with hopes of another great year for the market. Unfortunately, as the year progresses, the news is bad. We hear of economic troubles. We hear about the housing market experiencing major problems in terms of people not being able to sell their homes, declining values, people not being able to get loans, banks incurring large, dare I say, gargantuan losses. The news is bad. The economy continues to go down. Businesses start to lay off. We start to see people lose jobs by the hundreds of thousands per month. Your portfolio also starts to go down. You start losing $10,000 or more per month. Remember, you had $300. You're losing $10, some months more, some months less. And by the end of the year, the total stock market has lost almost 40%. 40% off of your original $300,000 is $120,000 lost in a year's time. Your original $300,000 now is only worth $180,000. But you're planning on retiring. You kept the pedal to the metal. You didn't make any shifts to your portfolio. You now have $180,000 and you have a job that you have trained a replacement to take over. What do you do? What do you do? Do you go ahead and retire and with that $180,000 try to live on less? We're going to take the 4%, right? And with 4% now, you're looking at maybe $600 a month instead of, what, the $1,000 a month? That's a big difference. That's not going to let you meet your expenses or do any traveling or anything else like you originally planned. What else can you do? Take the $1,000 and hope it lasts? Base your plan on the expectation that the market does really well? Well, we just saw that it didn't. You just saw this bad year for the market. What else can you do? Go back to work, right? That would be the ideal. We trained a replacement, right? All right, so what else? So the choices are limited. You can see what I'm getting at. Well, I know this is hypothetical, but actually it's not. This actually happened for people who retired in 2008, 2009, and who had kept their money invested in the market. It also happened back 2001, 2002, that time period. These sharp declines in the market for those people who kept their money invested, mostly in equity, totally changed their ability to retire and sustain their retirement, and also caused many people to change their retirement plans, push off their retirement by 5 years or more, or having to go back to work because they've already told the boss, see you later. So the brutal reality here is that when we are faced with these kinds of situations, this type of potential for stock market loss, we really need to plan ahead. If you are a year from retirement, now's the time to make plans. Now's the time to make adjustments to your portfolio. If you're 100% in the market, you certainly want to revisit that, because if you get out a year and the markets decline, you've got to change your plans. So please, please, please take a hard look at what you're doing. Get an advice from somebody that can guide you and make sure that your portfolio is prepared for such a situation to unfold.
Since 1997, David Holland has built a solid reputation in our local community as an independent financial advisor. Just as important, Holland Financial's professional team has grown to include 3 experienced certified financial planners, a tax accountant, an attorney, 3 chartered financial consultants, accredited asset management specialists, and certified annuity specialists. Our attentive and professional staff gives prompt and individualized attention to each and every one of our clients. Count on Holland Financial for your financial advice, not only for today, but for many years to come. Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us online at planstronger.com.
Welcome back. I've got a great question for you. How much money do you need to retire? That is the million-dollar question, right? You've seen the commercials where they've got, what's your number? Not what's in your wallet, but what's your number? How much do you need to retire? How much? It depends, right? It depends on your situation. I get that question a lot. People say, well, how much do I need to retire? Here's what I want to do. Because that's the big part of it. What do you want to do? What are your needs? What is your situation? Can I use a rule of thumb? Sure. Rule of thumbs are great to start with, but they're not a place to finish. Any rule of thumb that's out there about how much money you can take out of your retirement money and when you retire, how much money that you can invest a certain way, all these things, these rules, they're just a starting point. You really have to look at your individual situation. Now, I've got a great example for how much money you need to retire. Because it's so individualized, let's use an isolated example. In the movie Castaway, with Chuck Nolan as the lead character, played by Tom Hanks, this guy is stranded on a desert island. Great movie. Love the movie. So, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, you want to watch it before you hear the rest of what I'm going to share with you. So, he's stranded on a desert island, or desert island. It's a tropical island, but it's out in the middle of the ocean. And his plane goes down in a nasty storm. He's on the island. He learns to fend for himself. He's the only person. The island's not very large. And he's on the island for 4 years. He keeps hoping to be rescued. He's a smart guy. He does the math, draws it out on the rocks, and figures out that he's basically in a search zone the size of Texas. So his odds of being found are very remote. So after 4 years, he says, well, I'm going to try to escape this island. So he builds a raft from things on the island, logs and other things. And he's using also some of the things from the plane, some of the debris, some of the parts of the plane, his raft, that he escape raft he used from the plane, all these different boxes that are from people's packages that were going to be delivered on the plane. I think it was a FedEx plane. Anyway, so he takes all these things and he builds this raft. He organizes his supplies and he gets everything ready and he waits until the perfect time and he loads up his craft. He tests it, makes sure it's seaworthy and all of that, but he gets everything loaded onto this little raft. It's not very big, but it's all he can do. And so he gets on the raft and he launches into the water. Now, the island is surrounded by these really nasty, huge waves, and there's this really dangerous reef. He tried it a couple of times initially, got hurt a couple of times trying to get out there, but this time he gets over the waves and he escapes the island. Now, as he's leaving the island and it's disappearing into the mist on the television, on the screen, he realizes that he's never going to see this island again. Now, he didn't want to stay there the rest of his life, but it was safe. It was secure. He knew where he was. He knew his environment. He knew where he could get additional food, coconut trees, hunt for animals, whatever. So, as he left the shore, there's this moment where he realizes he's on his own. And the only thing he has to ensure his survival is what's on the raft. So that is an outstanding analogy for that transition you make when you retire. When you make the transition to retirement, you only have what's on your retirement raft. The investments, the money you've accumulated. That's it. There's no going back. Well, I mean, you could try to get back to the island, but that's going to be dangerous, right? Or you could try to go back to work. That's a whole nother peril to encounter. But when people make this transition, they have to make sure that what their craft is seaworthy. They've packed enough supplies to see them through the journey until they reach their destination. So how much do you need to retire? Well, think about it. How long will your retirement be? How long do people live in your family? How have you lived? What has your lifestyle been like? Are you in good health? What are your sources of income going to be? What are your plans for spending money? All these things come together to affect how much money you need to retire. Do you have other sources of income besides that retirement or those investment accounts? Now, one of the things, let me back up. There's two ways you can approach this. I get this question a lot. How do I figure out how much money I need, or how much can I get from my investments? It's really two different ways approaching the same question. The first way is, and this is very common. So if this is you, very common. people arrive at retirement or are already into retirement or are very close and they realize I need to do something to plan my retirement. You know, there's a running joke in the financial field. It's not really funny, but that people spend more time planning their vacations than they do their retirement. I've had plenty of people come to me and say, yeah, I retired last week. And so here's what I've got. And so how much money can I have for my retirement? And it's like, well, okay, wait a minute. We should have maybe done this a little while ago, but that's okay. I meet people where they are. And a lot of people approach it that way. So if you've made the decision to retire, you've pushed yourself out into the ocean, so to speak, and you have what's on the raft, then the job of an advisor is to figure out how to make what's on the raft last you long enough. What do you do to invest? And so the first thing is to figure out what will be your other sources of income, right? Social Security, pension, other things like that, or spouse's income. And then what do you need to do with your investments to get the income you need? The first thing to do is to figure out how to invest your money to get the income you need to meet your bare minimum expenses. Then beyond that, you may have discretionary expenses that you may can draw from your investments for as well. So what the approach is you are solving for the amount of income that can be reliably produced by your investments to give you what you need for the rest of your lifetime. Now, if you have other sources of income or you just say, look, I know I'm not going to live to 100. We never do. I don't buy green bananas. You know, if you want to take that philosophy or that little bit more of a roll the dice approach, you can draw more money. You might invest a little more aggressively, but you run the risk significantly of running out of money. The other approach, of course, is to be more conservative and to get investments that will give you the income you need first, and then whatever's left over can be invested more aggressively. So all of that is the first way of approaching retirement and retirement income based on what you've accumulated. You've already made the decision to retire. What can I do with it? The second way is to do a little bit more of a planning approach and to say, I want this amount of income. I know what I want to do in my retirement. I know what my other sources of income are going to be. I know what my Social Security is going to be. I know what these other things are going to be. I know what my number needs to be per month. How much do I need to accumulate to produce that in a reliable, consistent way? Now you've got a different calculation. You're solving for a different number. You're not solving for the income. You're solving for the amount of assets you need to produce that income, right? So to do that, you need to know how much you've already got, obviously, how much you've already put away, and then how much you can put away each month towards your retirement. And in doing that and working with an advisor, you can get a sense for how much income can be produced and then back into how long you need to work or how much you need to save to produce your retirement. But the most important part is to plan ahead because you do not want to be cast away.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.